Today's shiur is Masechet Megillah Daf Chaf, and we will begin at the Mishnah on Daf Yutas Mabeis, at the bottom of the Yomim. Says the Mishnah, Notel Eved Oikairish Al Hegdish. If someone took a stone or a beam belonging to Hegdish, Hereza Lamal. And as we will immediately, Mitzvah Shem, soon learn in the Gemara, our Mishnah refers to a situation of a Gizbar, that the Gizbar of Hegdish takes this item, and since he takes this item, he, given that he is the Gizbar, is not doing Mi'ilah because it belongs in his property. So it's not Mi'ilah, says the Mishnah, Hareza Lamal, just because he uses it, he has not violated Mi'ilah. Only when Nasma L'Chaveroi, when he gives it to someone else, at that point does he violate Mi'ilah, because, as we've learned so many times, he has done Shini Rishus. He has taken the item outside from his property and giving it to someone else. And at that point, Humo, by having taken that item out of his Rishus, he did Mi'ilah, V'chaver Lemol. But his colleague will not violate Mi'ilah. For as we learned in our previous year, Ein Mi'ilah Ach Mi'ilah. So once the first person took it out and he violated Mi'ilah, since we're not referring here to something that has in it like a behemoth that's a carbon or a kli sharis, it doesn't have that inherent kedushas aguf that we discussed at the end of our previous year, therefore it's no longer subject to Mi'ilah. Bona b'teich beisoy, if he took this beam and he built it into his home, Hareza loymal, he is not going to be violating Mi'ilah Achia Tachtevisha Pruta. Unless he has a benefit of a Pruta, that means he uses it, as we'll see in the Gemara, and he has benefit from it. Not a Pruta Shal Hegdish. If someone took a Pruta that belongs to Hegdish, and again, we repeat, as we said a moment ago, our Mishnah is speaking about an individual who is a Gizbar. So since he's a Gizbar, by taking the Pruta, he's not doing Mi'ilah because it's in his Rishus. So therefore, not the Pruta Shal Hegdish, by just taking the Pruta that belongs to Hegdish, Hareza Loimol, that isn't yet Mi'ilah. Only when Nasna L'Chaveroi, when he transfers that Pruta to his colleague, at that point, Humo, he violates Mi'ilah. But even though he violates Mi'ilah, Chaveroi Loimol, his colleague isn't going to do Mi'ilah anymore, because as we just said, a Mi'ilah, ach Mi'ilah. Again, here too the Mefarshim point out an obvious question. What is the difference between this case that we just are learning and the previous case, where, as we're explaining, our Mishnah is speaking about a Gizbar, and our Mishnah is teaching us that the Gizbar doesn't violate Mi'ilah until he transfers it. So why does the Mishnah have to teach us the same din both by a Pruta and by a beam belonging to Hegdish? So one teretz that I saw in the Mefarshim is that the reason the Mishnah speaks about this new case about the Pruta is for the next din that's about to be mentioned in the Mishnah that we're going to learn in a moment. The next din about paying to a bathhouse attendant, there are different halachas when money belonging to Hegdish is given to that bathhouse attendant, and therefore these words are only here as introductory words to the next case of the Mishnah. That's one pshat that I saw. But then I saw another interesting pshat. If we speak about an item belonging to Hegdish, whether it's a pruta belonging to Hegdish or it's a beam belonging to Hegdish, so we think about these two different items, they have different levels of kedusha. A pruta is not inherently Hegdish. A pruta is only Hegdish for what you could buy with that pruta. That you could use that pruta to buy items on behalf of Hegdish. But it itself is not inherently Hegdish. On the other hand, the beam is inherently Hegdish, because the beam can be used to build in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, since the beam and the pruta represent different types of hekdesh, explain the mefarshim, our Mishnah needed to tell us that the halacha is still the same in both situations, and that in both situations the halacha will be that there is no me'ila when he uses it, given that he's a gizbar, and when he transfers it, there is me'ila. For one would think that if the item is inherently hekdesh, so then it's me'ila as soon as you use it. That could be a thought, that could be an approach that someone can take. Or, on the other hand, that you would say that by a pruta, just transferring it is not enough to take away me'ila, or an argument can be made vice versa. Because these various arguments could be made, our Mishnah had to say, had to teach us that it makes no difference what type of hekdesh it is. In both situations, the halacha is that when it gets transferred from the reshus of the gizbar, then, and only then, is there a violation of me'ila. Says the Mishnah further, nasna labalot, if the person gave this pruta that belongs to hekdesh to a bathhouse attendant, even though he never actually uses the bathhouse, mohal, he already violates me'ila as soon as he gives it to the bathhouse attendant. For the bathhouse attendant tells him, as far as I'm concerned, the bathhouse is available to you. He kanes urchaitz. For as far as I'm concerned, you could go in any time and use it. And here I saw a number of explanations amongst the Rishonim and the Achronim how to understand what the Mishnah means to say here. One approach that I saw is that what the Mishnah means to say here is that even though we know ein l'schiris el l'psoif, typically wages are not owed only when the job is done. Here, he hasn't yet gone to the bathhouse. Yet, since the halacha is that if someone doesn't wait to pay the wages only after the job is done, he chooses to pay his employee earlier, the halacha is that it's considered that that's considered a payment. So here, when he paid the bathhouse attendant, it became mila for having been transferred out of his rishus to the rishus of the bathhouse attendant. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that here he's not paying for the work, he's actually paying for buying property. The right that someone has to use a bathhouse is like attaining rights to a piece of land. And by paying the bathhouse attendant, he's actually making a kinyan, because property is bought with the kesef, is a valid kinyan for property. And since kesef is a valid kinyan for property, that's why this transfer is considered a valid transfer, that it should be considered mila. That's a second pshat that I saw. A third pshat that most Rishonim seem to learn with this third pshat is that what happens when you pay a bathhouse attendant for the right to use the bathhouse, you're not paying for any specific incident where you're using the bathhouse. Rather, what you're paying for is for the right. As soon as you pay, you now have the right to use the bathhouse whenever you need to use the bathhouse. So since at that point, when you pay, that right is received, so you paid for something, and it's considered an act of mila. Continues the Mishnah. Achilasoi v'achilas chaveroi. If he ate a half a pruta worth of mila food, and his colleague ate a half a pruta of mila food. And here we have a machloikis. What is the situation that I ate, or that he ate, and his colleague ate? There's some that suggest that it's only considered mi'ila, not if he ate and he told his friend to eat, because that wouldn't be enough of a combination. His Hanok and his Chaver's Hanok cannot combine. It only would be considered Mi'ila if he ate and he fed his Chaver. There are other Rishonim, however, suggest that if he ate and he was the one that told his friend to eat the other half of Pruta, that is enough to combine, that our Mishnah says that we have now a situation of Ila. The Mefarshim explained, the Sfasemis discusses this issue, and they explain that the issue here is really connected, that we know, as we've been learning in our Shiurim, there are a number of ways that Mila is done. One is through Hano, benefiting from Mila, and the other is from Shini Rishus. The question that is discussed by the Rishonim and the Achronim is when we say that through the Mi'ila of someone else, as we're going to learn, that by Mi'ila, even if someone else does the Mi'ila, the Meshaleach is Chayiv for Mi'ila, is that in all forms of Mi'ila, whether it's the Hana'ah form of Mi'ila, or the Shini Rishus form of Mi'ila, or is it only in the form of Mi'ila of Shini Rishus, but in the form of Hana'ah, there the halach will be that the shliach is the moil, not the mishaleach. Continues the Mishnah, Hanosoy v'hanos chaveroi, he benefited from this item of Hegdush combined with his colleague, or even achilosoy v'hanos chaveroi, he ate and his friend benefited, or vice versa. Hanosoy v'achilos chaveroi, and all of these situations would start from zemzeh, they combine, v'afilu l'zman merubah, and as we learned already, the halacha by Mi'ila is that Mi'ila could be violated even if it was over a longer period of time, the acts of Mi'ila to combine to be Chayiv Mi'ila if there was a Mi'ila of a Pruta. However, the Mefarshim of course do say that it only combines if there was or Behelem Achas. There was no Yediyah, there was no awareness of the Aveira in between. For if there was an awareness of the Aveira in between, then these different acts of Mi'ila that took place over a longer period of time would not be able to combine. Ask the Gemara, going back to the first cases of our Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that if he took an item of Hegdish, it's not considered that he did Mi'ila until he transfers it to someone else. So ask the Gemara, Maishnahu or Maishnah Chaveroi, what's the difference that only when he gave it over to his colleague is it considered that he did Mi'ila, not earlier? Maishnahu or Maishnah Chaveroi, answers the Gemara, Amr Shmuel, the Gizbar HaMasuris Lo Yaskinim. Our Mishnah is referring to the Gizbar. And what our Mishnah is teaching us is, says Shmuel, that since the Gizbar has the right, not only does he have a right, it's actually his job to take care of the Hegdish. So when he uses Hegdish, it's not considered that there's a Mi'ila. Because the definition of Mi'ila, as we just said a moment ago, means that you transfer the item from your Rishus to another Rishus. But when it's still in your Rishus, and that is, even if you're using it, that isn't considered an act of Mi'ila. And since it's not considered an act of Mi'ila, it's not a Shini Rishus until he actually transfers it out from his Rishus to the Rishus of his Chaver. Of course, the Mefarshim point out that when the Gemara uses the word Gizbar here, it's not to be understood literally. Gizbar usually means the person who's the treasurer of Hegdish. In our Gemara, it need not necessarily be the person who's the treasurer of Hegdish. A person who is holding an item that belongs to him, that he was magdish, is also considered, in, as far as the what we're discussing today, a gizbar of Hegdish, because by holding the item of Hegdish, he is its gizbar. It's also interesting to point out that the Paiskim say, our Gemara is teaching us a chiddush. Our Gemara is teaching us that a person who is a gizbar, he's not really the owner of the item, he's only the gizbar of the item. The fact that you're the gizbar of the item also makes it be considered as if you are some sort of an owner of the item. It's relevant as a tshuva in the Michas Yitzchak regarding taking truma samaisris. That we know, of course, that produce that grows in Eretz Yisrael, we have to take truma samaisris from such produce. And the question that comes up is if a person is only in the status of a gizbar, government, or a government representative, probably is only in the category of a gizbar, can't be considered a full-fledged owner, do they have the ability to take off truma samaisris? And an argument can be made, especially based on what we learned now in our Gemara, that a gizbar can be considered in halacha to have some sort of level of that responsibility, gives him some sort of level of ownership that perhaps he could even be considered an individual who could take off truma samaisris. We learned in the Mishnah, but bana b'tayf beisai, if he took a beam belonging to Hegdish and he built it into his home, ein echayif, he's not chayim ila until he lives under that beam and has benefit that's worth a pruta. But ask the Gemara, lama liyachiyoda tachtera, why is the halacha that he hasn't violated me'ila until he actually lives under that beam? Why not kim d'shan yamal? As soon as he does something to the beam, he has to cut the beam or shake the beam. Shouldn't that be considered an act of me'ila? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav, kigon shenicha piyaruba. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where he just placed the beam on top of an open space in his roof, and that in itself is not an act of me'ila until he lives under it, because he didn't make any physical change to the beam. Machloikus rishonim, while be the halacha, he didn't make any physical change to the beam, but he connected the beam to the roof with cement or whatever. Is that going to be considered an act of me'ila, just connecting it with cement? Some rishonim suggest that since he didn't make any physical change in the beam, although he did connect it by cement, that is not an act of me'ila. You have to make a physical change in the beam itself. There are other rishonim that disagree, and they say the connecting of the beam to the cement is already enough of an act of me'ila that would not require anything more to be over me'ila. Our Mishnah refers to a situation where it wasn't connected with cement, it was just connected with by putting it down. Ask the Gemara, but what it seems to be very clear is that let's say somebody would take a beam and form it, shape it, cut it. That would be an act of me'ila. The key in the bonalei, that would be an act of me'ila, mi'a small. Ask the Gemara, but why? Haven't we learned that there is no me'ila by something which is mechubel l'karka? Our Mishnah, which seems to indicate that this beam is subject to me'ila, lema m'sayle l'raf, is this not a riot to what Rav taught us in Masechta Avodah Zarah? Daf Yud Zayin, Domer Rav, Hamishtachva Labayis Osroi. The Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah teaches us based on the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Abi ta'abdunas kamakoimus asha ovdu shamagoyim esalaheim alahorim. So the Gemara explained, esalaheim alahorim, v'loyahorim alaheim. That a mountain, something that's mechuba l'karka, cannot become avodah zarah, doesn't have the halachic status of an avodah zarah. And the Gemara there discusses that if there was material which was obviously detached and then built into being a house, would that be considered something that's mechuba l'karka and doesn't have the din of avodah zarah, or is it not considered mechuba l'karka because it was originally detached? Rav's opinion is that since it's something that was originally detached, even though currently it's connected to the ground, it's still not considered like it's mechubel karka. And therefore he says, Hamishtach l'bayis, if somebody worships a home which was made originally from detached material, which is now attached, osroi, it's considered avodah zarah. So here too in our Mishnah, our Mishnah would be very much a riot to that point. Because our Mishnah is teaching us that if we have material, a beam, which it could be subject to Mila. Even when it's built into the home, it's Mechubel Karka. The answer is that it was originally Mechubel Karka, but right now it's not Mechubel. It was now it's Mechubel Karka, but since originally it was not Mechubel Karka, it's not considered Mechubel Karka. Answers the Gemara, it's not a raya. Because as far as Hilchas Me'ilah is concerned, Omer Acha Bereder of Ikka, Hanoah HaNiris L'Nayim Asur Tayru. When it comes to Me'ilah, there's a machlokes how to understand this Gemara. Some explain that even though we could argue and say that Tolish Ulubsoif Chibroi Kimachubadomi, here when it comes to Me'ilah, the rules are different. The rules are that as long as it's noticeable, it's going to be subject to Mila. And there are a number of pshatim in the Mefarshim how to understand this Gemara. Some say that what the Gemara means to say is only that it's a Mila Drabonim. That there's a special rule that even though something that's Mechubel Karka is not subject to Mila, and Tolish Ulumasoif Chibroi is considered Mechubel Karka, but since it's a noticeable me'ila, they will be me'ila derabbanan. That's one approach that I saw. Another approach that I saw, that me'ila has its own rule. The me'ila has a rule that even though mechubel karka is not subject to me'ila, if it's near le'nayim, it is subject to me'ila. The Chazon Ish says a very beautiful pshat. The Chazon Ish says, why indeed is something mechubel karka not subject to Mila? So the answer, he says, is because it's not noticeable that this item belongs to Hegdish, since it's connected to the ground. But if it was something that was originally detached, and you take that item for your own personal use, and you use it for your own you take something that belongs to Hegdish and you use it for your own personal use. So now we don't have a situation what you're doing is not noticeable, and therefore the exemption of Mechubel Karka would not apply. And these different pshatim that we're suggesting have a very interesting nafkamina, because Reb Chaim Oizer in his Child's Tshuva Achiezer discusses that our Gemara, which is now teaching us that even Mechubel Karka, which is normally not subject to Me'ilah, if it's a Hanoah HaNiri Le'Nayim, is subject to Me'ilah, what would be the halacha, he says, if it's not like the case of Al Gemara, where you took detached materials and you built them into a house that's obviously now connected to the ground? But what would be the halacha if you took a fruit, a vegetable, a seed, and you planted it in the ground? Would it be subject to Me'ilah? Would it have the din of HaNiri Le'Nayim, which is subject to Mila? According to the Chazon Ish, it should still be subject to Mila. Why? Because according to the Chazon Ish, the issue that we're discussing here is that you take an item, which when you take the item, it's detached, and therefore even though you ultimately attach it to the ground, but since when you took it, it was detached, that shows what you're doing is an act of Mila and Yechai Mila. Whereas, according to the other Mefarshim that say that there's a special rule that even though Mechubel Karka is not subject to Mila, but if it's a Mechubel Karka which is more noticeable, it will be subject to Mila. Certainly, when you're planting something into the ground which is very not noticeable, there the halacha will remain that it's not subject to Mila. So the Gemara wants to bring a different raya to Rav, that Tolish Ulubsoif Chibroi is not considered Mechubber. Lema Masaile, because the Brisa says, Hador b'bayishal Hegdish, if somebody lives in a home that belongs to Hegdish, kivin shenenem imenemol, as soon as he is in the house, as soon as he benefits from that house, he has violated Me'ila. Ayitz Mechubel Karka. It must be, Tolish Lubsoif Chibroi, if it was originally detached, it's not considered Mechubel Karka. Again, says the Gemara, it's not a raya. Amar Eish Lakish, Hosom b'shigdish Lubsoif Bonai. That rice is referring to a situation that first you will magdish the material and then you built them. That's when you'll be over me'ilah. But in, and that is exactly what Rav says. Barner lepsayfig, that's not what Rav said, because Rav says it's always considered talish. But it could be if barner lepsayfig deishoy, then even though it started off with detached material, it will be considered mechubal lekarka. So we don't have a raya from there. So Rishonim ask a very obvious question. Why did Rish Lakish, in trying to show that this brisa is not a raya to Rav, say a new concept of, there's a difference, as we just said, and we'll speak about it more in a moment, of Hidishoy Lepsoif Bonoy, or Bonoy Lepsoif Hidishoy. He could have said the teretz that the Gemara said a moment ago. The deer, it's a Hanoh Nir Elay Naim. And Hanoh Nir Elay Naim, Rav agrees, is subject to Mila. Say to Rishonim, the distinction that the Gemara is now making, that there's a difference if Hikdishoy Lepsoif Bonoy, or Bonoy Lepsoif Hikdishoy, is another way of saying, is it Hanoh Nir Elay Naim or not? Because why are we explaining, does Hanoh Nir Elay Naim mean? Hanor la'nir la'naim actually means that it's noticeable. And with the pshat, the chazanish, it's very gishmak. That when you took it, if it was already hegdish, so it's obvious that what you're doing is an act of mila, that's when you're over mila. If it wasn't hegdish when you took it, it's not that obvious. So that's why saying that the difference between hegdishoy l'psoy bonoy versus bonoy of l'psoy hegdishoy is another way of saying Hanoah Nir Elay Naim. Avo, so now the Gemara makes its point. Bonoy Lepsoif HaDeishoy. If it would be a situation that first you took the materials, built the whole house, and only afterwards you were magdish it, then indeed, the halacha would be that that's considered Mechupal Karka, not like Rav, and Loimol. You would not violate Mila. Ask the Gemara, if that is indeed the halacha, ask the Gemara, my area, if we look at that Braisa, the Braisa continued in saying, Rot Vatani, in the continuation of the Braisa, it said, Hadov Vaisha Ma'ora, if you live in a cave belonging to Hegdish, Loimol, you have not violated Me'ila. Why did the Braisa have to use that as an example of Mechubal Karka, that you didn't violate Me'ila? Lema could have said this distinction, Hadov Vaisha Lavonim, Shabon Lepsoif HaDeishoy, that if you live in a regular home, but you first built the home, and only afterwards will you magdish the home? Loimol! Why do you have to bring the case of a cave to make this point? Answers the Gemara. Amri, hapsikalei halapsikalei. When we speak about a cave, given that a cave by definition is mechubal karka, so it's never going to be subject to mila. When we speak about a house, there has to be distinctions. There's a distinction between the house that was first built and then you were magdish it, versus if you were magdish it and then you built it. So since there has to be such, so the Braisa preferred to say something which is easily understood, always the case of the beam versus the case of the house, where there are different details that have to be taken into consideration. Says the Mishnah, Shliach also Shluchusoy, of a Shliach carried out his shlichus by Me'ila. He did what the owner tells him. The loch is balabayis mol, even though the Kol HaTorah Kula, as we've said, there's a rule, ain't shlich l'dvar aveira. Mila is an exception to the rule. For as we learned from Truma, just like by Truma, there's a concept of shlichus. As we've said, the entire halach of shlichus actually is learned from Truma, that a Shliach could take Truma on behalf of someone else. So if we learn from there that a Shliach who did Me'ila, it was the Meshaleach who's Chayiv. It's interesting to point out that if you look in the Pirush of Mishnayis L'Rambam, the Rambam uses a different pasuk to teach us that if somebody sent someone else to do Me'ila, the Meshaleach is Chayiv. He says, and the pasuk says, V'oshmo ha'nefesh ha'hi. When we learn from the he, the person who is the original owner. So Taisus Yontov asks, but we learned in the Gemara this week that the source that we know that Ein Shlichus L'Dvar Aveira Me'ila is from Truma. How does the Rambam bring a different source? So the Rav Shmuel Rizovsky answers that if we only had the pasuk that we learned from Truma, we would learn only that if a shliach does mila, the mishaleach is chayiv. But we would think perhaps that the shliach is also chayiv. That's why the Rambam has to quote the pasuk of Oshma HaNefesh Ahi, that not only is the mishaleach chayiv, but the mishaleach is chayiv himself. Only the mishaleach is chayiv. The shliach is not chayiv at all. However, says the Gemara, lo asu shlichusoi, if he didn't fulfill his shlichus, he didn't fulfill, and the Mishnah will right away give us such an example, if he didn't fulfill his shlichus, then the shliach is considered the moil. It's interesting to point out that the Rishonim say that when do we say that when we speak about mi'ilah, the mishaleach is chayiv and not the shliach, that's only when it's mi'ilah on bedek habayis, on something that has kedushas domin. But something that has kedushas haguf, that besides that there's the issa mi'ilah, that you're benefiting from something that belongs to hegdish, there's an isser that you're not allowed to use an animal that belongs for carbon that has to be brought on the mizbeach, there the halacha is that we do apply the halacha that we have a kalatari kula of ein shliach ledvar aveir. So the Mishnah illustrates the halacha that I just said. Ketzad, amlo tein basal archim, if somebody told the shliach, give meat to my guest, the nasan kaved, and he gave him liver, or vice versa, kaved, the nasan basal, he told him, give him liver, and he gave meat, since the shliach has not carried out his instructions, the instructions of the mishleach, hashliach mal. Amaloi, continues the Mishnah, if the mishleach told the shliach, tein lo chaticha chaticha, give one piece of meat, and he told them to take two pieces of meat, and they ended up taking shalosh, three pieces of meat, so achas kulamalu, they all have violated mila. The mishaleach did mila because of the first piece of meat, the shliach did mila because of the second piece of meat, and the people who ate the meat did mila because of the third piece of meat that was not told to them, not by the shliach, nor by the mishaleach. The Sefer Chanukah HaTorah says that when Adam HaRishon ate from the fruit of the Eitz Hadas, and Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol confronted him, he said to Hashem, "He nasnu li min eitz v'oichol." And the question is, what kind of excuse is that? He nasna min eitz v'oichol, that she gave me from the tree. So that doesn't mean you're allowed to do something wrong. So the Chanukah HaTorah says that what Adam HaRishon was saying to Hashem is exactly what our Mishnah is saying. That she was the mishaleach, and I am the shliach, and that when we speak about mi'ilah, as we're learning in our Mishnah, we're going to learn in our Gemara, the halacha is that the mishaleach is mal, not the shliach. And therefore Adam HaRishon was saying that it was Chava who should be considered the one that did the aveira, the mishaleach, not I, the shliach. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to Adam HaRishon that the isser of eating fruit from the Eitz Hadas wasn't an isser of Hegdish. But Hegdish, as we've been learning in our shir, there's a special rule, by Me'ilah there's a special rule that we don't apply a normal concept of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. In all other areas of Halacha, of course there's a rule of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishaimim, and therefore you have done an Aveira. The Mordechai says that we learn in Pirkei Avos, the Kol Ha'Omeilim Matzibur, Yameilim Imoim L'Shem Shemayim, whoever works for the tziva should work l'shem shemayim, schus avoysa m'siyatam. For such a people will have the schus avos help them. So the question that the Mordechai asks is, why if somebody does the avoyda l'shem shemayim, is it considered, then is he merit to schus avos, and if not, not? He says, if somebody is doing the work l'shem shemayim, so then, he is considered that he's following the instruction of the Avos. Because we just learned in our Mishnah that when can you be considered a Shliach? you could be considered a shliach if you fulfill the instructions of the mishaleach. So if you do it l'shem shemayim, so then you're fulfilling the instructions of the avos, and you will merit this avos. But if you don't do, you avoid the l'shem shemayim, then you're not considered their shliach, and therefore you don't have their schus to help you. So our Mishnah said the following, that meat and liver are not considered one and the same. As we're about to learn in our Gemara, by a neder, if somebody uses, we follow what the person said, we follow his words to know what he meant or didn't mean by a neder. And the Gemara Masechta Nedarim, as we're about to learn, says a machlokes, if something is not exactly what you said, but it's close. What is the definition that it's close? That if you were sent to buy one item. So if I was sent to buy meat, and I didn't find meat in the market, I only found vegetables in the market, I wouldn't even come back and ask, is that what you want? Because meat and vegetables are two distinct items. But let's say I was sent to buy meat, and I only found liver. So now it's a question. I will come back and ask, I couldn't find meat, but I could find liver. Is that good enough? Our Mishnah seems to teach us clearly that meat and liver, since you're not going to buy liver when you're told to buy meat, you're only going to consult the person who gave you the instruction, are considered two different items. So begins the Gemara. Man Tana, who indeed is the Tana that holds? The Komnus, the Mimlech Alei Shliach, where it's not obvious what the Mishaleich wants, and he has to come back for consultation. It's considered two distinct items. Answers the Gemara, Amar Chizd Loik Rabbi Kiva. Our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. That's not. For the Mishnah teaches us in the Sech in the Dorim, Hanoid ben Yerek, if somebody makes a neder that he's not going to eat greens, the Tanakama holds, Mutab Adalun, he may have cucumbers. Because cucumbers are not in the category of Yerek. Kiva Oysa. Kiva says he may not. Why? Because the Tanakama says that if somebody were instructed to buy Yerek, and he didn't find Yerek, and he only found Deluim, he wouldn't just go buy Deluim. He would come back and consult. Is Deluim going to do what? Should I buy the Deluim? That shows, according to the Tanakhama, that Deluim and Yerek are two distinct items. And so is the case, says the Gemara, with meat and liver. Rav Akiva says, the fact that if you found Deluim, you're going to come back and ask, I couldn't find Yerek, but I found the Luim. Is that what you want? Shows, on the contrary, that the Luim and Yerek are one. And the same in our Mishnah, says the Gemara, that if somebody is sent to buy meat, and if he can't find meat, but he finds liver, he'll come back and ask, I couldn't find the meat, but I found liver. Is that going to be okay? Shows that meat and liver are the same. Yet our Mishnah Paskin, the meat and liver are not considered one. Clearly, our Mishnah does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Matana? So the Gemara is saying it's not like Rabbi Kiva. However, says the Gemara, Abaye Omer, Abaye says, I feel the time of Rabbi Kiva. Our Mishnah can follow the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Because Miloy Bai Lemluche, as we just explained, it's not that he's going to automatically buy the liver. He's going to come back and ask a question. Is the liver okay? So the fact that he's going to check and not automatically buy it, that is, on the contrary, an indication that it's not one and the same, and therefore it's not considered having done a shlichus if he brought liver instead of meat. It says the Gemara, Kamru Rabbanaka made the Rava. When this was said over to Rava, Amalahu, he said, Shapakam Nachmeni. Nachmeni was Abaya, said, well, why was he so happy that Abaya, for what Abaya said? So Farshim explained, because according to Abaya, our Mishnah could follow the opinion of Rekiva, which normally the Halacha does follow Rekiva, and according to Abaya, now our Mishnah could follow that opinion. Why did Rava call him Nachmeni? Why did Rava call Abaya Nachmeni? So there's two pshatim. Abaya was a Yosim, and Rava ben Nachmeni raised him. In fact, the word Abaya, the Mepharshim say, stands for Asher B'cha Yerucham Yosim. And therefore, Rava, who raised him, treated him like a son and gave him the same name as his father, Nachmeni. A different pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that Abaya was actually Rava ben Nachmeni's nephew. And his name was Nachmeni, the same name as Rava's father. And Rava didn't want to call Abaya by his name, Nachmeni, because that was his father's name, and he didn't want to call somebody with his father's name. So because he didn't want to use his father's name, he called him, instead of calling him his real name, Nachmeni, he called him Abaya, from Lashon Avi, my father. I'm calling you Abaya Avi, because your real name is the same name as my father. The Mershainim, there is a Machlokes Mershainim, and according to Rekiva, that says that if you made a nether from Deluim, you should, if you made a nether from Yerik, you may not have Deluim. What would be the halacha if you ate Deluim? Would you get Malchus? According to Rekiva, it's considered totally in the category of Yerik. Or according to Rekiva, it's only a Suffolk. And this is because it's a Suffolk, you shouldn't eat the Deluim. But if you ate Deluim, we wouldn't give Malchus. Ask the Gemara, man tana the Palagra Rekiva. And the Mepharshim explain why is Agamara looking for that Tana. One shot that I saw is because we know that Loka Rekiva Mechavei Roi V'loi Mechavei Rav. So not that Abaya established that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rekiva, but we only will follow that opinion if it's not the Chachamim who disagree. So we want to know who argues Rav Kiva. Is it the Chachamim or is it only an individual? Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Tana that's arguing against Rav Kiva is Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Tanya, Hanoida bin Abasar, if somebody makes a nether that he won't eat meat, Asa b'chamini basar, he may not have any type of meat, Asa b'rosh b'raglayim, he may not have head, legs, kana v'kaveh, the trachea, the liver, lave, and the heart. Asa b'basar oifis, normally eat meat from a bird. Mustar b'basar dog m'chagavah, you can have fish or grasshoppers. Rav Shimon Gamliel matter. Rav Shimon Gamliel says he can have Rosh, Raglayim, Karnav, Kaveh. All these different cuts are not considered basar. He could have Oifus, he could have bird meat. He could have Dogim, Achangovim, fish and grasshoppers. And the Mepharshim say, why does every one of these type of meats have to be spelled out? Because some say to show us that only here Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rav Kiva disagree, but in other cuts of meat they will agree. The only question is, what does that mean that they will agree? Does it mean Rav Kiva agrees with Rav Shimon Gamliel, or does it mean Rav Shimon Gamliel agrees with Rav Kiva? Can Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kervayim La Bosahim, intestine meat is not considered meat, V'chleim La Berinish, and a person who eats it is not considered a human being. I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that if somebody has an option to buy different cuts of meat, and from all the different cuts of meat that he buys, he chooses intestine meat, he's not a smart person. Another pshat is that if someone bought meat from, made up with a butcher to sell him meat, and the butcher delivers him kerbayim meat, intestine meat, it's considered a mekach tos. Another pshat is that if I buy from someone chopped meat, and he mixes into that chopped meat intestine meat, unless I knew up front what I'm buying, it's considered that I was cheated, because kabayim is not considered meat. It's ask the Gemara, ulatanakama, according to the Tanakama, maishna basar oifis, why by bird meat is it considered meat? Many times people say, I wasn't able to find animal meat, so give me bird meat. Says the Gemara, if that's the reasoning why he considers bird meat like regular meat, what happens sometimes is, like a person says, I wasn't able to find animal meat, Vaisadogim, give me fish. So why is fish, according to the Tanakhama, different than bird meat? Amma Rapapa, says Rapapa, our Mishnah speaking that Biyoy Makazaskinim. On the day that he let blood, the Loy Ochel Inish Dogim. That on that day people didn't eat fish, because fish wasn't healthy to be eaten on the day of bloodletting. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying that he's speaking about the day that he let blood, and therefore he doesn't eat bird, he doesn't eat fish, Sipranami Meichel, does he eat bird meat? Ham Shmuel, has the Masach of Achat Sifra, if somebody lets blood and then eats bird meat, Parach Libikat Sifra, he'll have heart palpitations. Boy Tanya, furthermore we learned in the Brice, Emek Yizendam, that they were careful not to do Hakazas Adam, they only did Hakazas Adam for someone they knew that would have the proper diet after he did Hakazas Adam. And if all he had was dogim v'loy aloifis, not for bird meat, not for fish, v'loy abosimalia, and not for salty meat. So we see from here that it can't be yom hakaza, because then there should be no difference between fish and bird meat. Elam rapapa, we're speaking here by yom dekay v'loy einay skinen. On a day that he has eye problems, the loyachal dogim, fish were bad on such a day, and therefore fish he wouldn't eat, but bird meat he would eat. It's interesting to point out that even though our Gemara seems to say that fish and bird meat are, to some degree at least, in the category as the same as regular meat, but I saw from the Shailos HaTshuvos Mishnah Halachos that the halacha is that on the night that a woman is supposed to go to the mikveh, she should not eat meat. So the halacha is she shouldn't eat meat, she shouldn't eat poultry, but she may eat fish. There it's a question of chatzitza, and in chatzitza, fish isn't going to be a concern of chatzitza that may get stuck between the teeth, but meat and poultry are a concern. We learned in the last dinner of the Mishnah, Amloy ten chaticha, if the balabas said, give one piece of hegdish meat, the shliach gave two, and the people ate three, they're all over me'ila. Shema mina, ma'isav shlichusav v'shliach. The Gemara in Masechta Ksubis discusses a situation where somebody told his shliach to sell a half a car of land. And instead of selling a half a car, he sold an entire car. That will be at least the sale of a half a car be considered a valid sale. Is it considered that he violated the shlichus and that the shlichus is nullified or not? Our Mishnah, says the Gemara, seems to indicate that if the shliach did more than he was told to do, he's considered still a shliach. So the Gemara's not a raya. It's Amr Sheshes. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the Amr shliach, the shliach clearly announces, Tol achas midatoi, v'achas midati. He clearly announces that the first piece of meat is based on the Mishaleich's instruction, and therefore he kept the Mishaleich name and instruction avowed. That's why it's a different situation. But the Gemara explains what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is. Maritame, even though he used the Mishaleich's name, but since Okesh Lichusa is Lichusa de Balabayas, he hasn't exactly followed his instructions, and therefore perhaps we should suggest that if he doesn't follow exact instructions, as we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah, then the Mishaleich Loi Limo should not be considered as if he did Me'ilah. Kamash Malon, that since to a degree he followed his instructions, and he mentioned those instructions, it's considered still, at least for that first piece of meat, an act of me'ila of the balabais.